Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Do you like cats? I don't like cats. No, you do, don't you? Ugh.
What?
Gross.
I didn't even answer. Well, I do think that they're cute. Mm-hmm. I like the videos online, but I think I might be allergic, or I might that just might be you. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's me, or it might be that I used to be allergic and I'm not anymore, or it might be that I haven't been around a cat in a long time.
It's a lot of variables.
So, yeah, but my son wants one bad, but I just say I'm allergic.
Okay, so I was looking up somebody to possibly hire to help me with the show, and along the top menu bar, the last thing said something about show me your cats. And it was just pictures of cats, and I can't hire them.
What menu bar? Like, when you were looking them up?
Like, on the website.
Oh.
That real estate, they allotted it to pictures of cats. Unrelated to everything that they do. I can't.
Emily, I think that's illegal to not hire somebody because of cats.
I'm a catist.
You're going to jail. Are you prepared to go to jail over that statement?
I'm not.
Okay.
But there are no cats in jail, so I feel good about that aspect of it.
I don't know, because I heard on a podcast.
Are you kidding?
It's a good podcast. And they were talking about how some people do have animals in jail.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
I'm not safe anywhere.
Nope. Just go to jail. Just try it out.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast.
Welcome back, ladies. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure that you learn something new, laugh a lot, and remember that you're already enough. This is episode 139, and I am talking to Lynn Cowell. Before we start, I wanted to remind you that at the top of the show, you heard a tiny snippet of the Struggling Sisters show. Twice a month, my sister Katie and I release additional content for supporters of the show. So if you're interested in more laughing, more learning, and the ability to contribute to what we're doing here each week, I would love to have you join us. Just head over to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell and start listening to all the episodes we've released up to this point. The other benefit of being a Patreon supporter is that this week they got first dibs on all the Mom Struggling Well live tickets. We're having our very first live show here in the DFW area in July. Our Patreon people find out before everybody else about any new events and things on the horizon. So this week I'm talking to Lynn Cowell, and she is a mom of 3 grown kids. We talk about how she prepared for that transition of being an empty nester, what that did to their marriage, what are we supposed to do when all the parenting experts say different things, and then something I think is going to be really helpful to all of us, what do you do when you find that there may be some mental health issues developing in your kiddos? That's part of her story, and so I think that even if it's not part of your story, it's a really great thing to know about and know what to do. So let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Lynn. Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so good. What did you do this morning? You're an empty nester, so I'm just really curious.
Well, today I actually got up pretty slow and didn't really feel rushed. I have been experiencing this thing in my life where I have this tension through the back of my shoulders constantly. And I've realized it's because of this schedule that I'm putting myself on. So I'm trying to be really intentional to slow down. So that's what I did this morning. I got up slow. I had some coffee that I put some coconut oil in, and had some time with the Lord, and then moved into work.
Okay, so tell me about coconut oil in the coffee.
Well, I've been going through all these things of trying to figure out my health. Last year, I had a crazy busy year. And sometimes when we don't manage that well, things kind of fall apart and my health kind of took a second step. So my sister introduced me to what she calls bulletproof coffee.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So you put a tablespoon of coconut oil and blend it. You have to blend it. You can't just stir it. It doesn't work the same in your coffee. And it's really good. It's not low calorie, but it's supposed to be good for you.
Okay. So do you blend it like with one of those frother things or what?
I use, you know, one of those blenders. I can't think of the name of it.
Like the emulsion, like the handheld blender?
Nope. No, I use a normal like blender.
Like an actual blender.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was the very last thing I thought of. Like, when you say blender, I think of all kinds of different things.
Oh, because there's so many options.
There super are. Okay. Yeah. So do you also put like milk in it or what?
Nope. Just the coconut oil. And actually, that's why I got started, because I was on this kick of trying to get dairy out of my diet. And me and black coffee, we just weren't in an agreement on that. So this is kind of my substitute.
Okay. I love black coffee.
Ah.
Okay.
Good for you.
I do. Very strong, very black. Love it. But I think I also love coconut. So maybe I'll try that when we're done. I'm always up for coffee any time of day. My husband hates it when I drink coffee late because I want to talk about my feelings all night. That's just as soon as we get in bed, I'm like, oh, let's talk about this feeling and that feeling. Anyway, okay. So first of all, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? We already know you're an empty nester. You drink bulletproof coffee. But what else?
So my name is Lynn Cowell. I'm an author and a speaker with Proverbs 31 Ministries. My husband and I have been married for a little over 30 years. And when our kids all finally left for college, we had three in college at the same time, we started this adventure. I call it Adventures with Gregors. My husband's name is Greg. And so we've just started doing things that we didn't do when we had a bunch of kids. And it's pretty fun. So our kids are 26, 23, and 20.
Okay. And they're all gone. Mm-hmm. And did they all go to college? Did they all leave the state or what's going on?
They did all go to college. They didn't all take a very traditional path of getting through college. My oldest just graduated at 26. And then my younger two, the middle one is in the master's program of social work at University of North Carolina. And my youngest one is also a social work major in Virginia.
Okay, yeah. That's great. So they're all kind of close by.
Yeah, not too far. Mm-hmm.
So you are doing things you didn't do before.
Mm-hmm.
How's that been different on your marriage to have just the two of you?
Well, one of the things that I really have noticed, Emily, is how important it is during those years when you're raising kids to not ignore your marriage. Because fortunately, at this stage, I love my husband. I enjoy him and we are enjoying each other. I think it would be really difficult to get to this stage and realize that you invested everything you had in those little people who've now walked out the door.
Yeah. What was that transition like? Because in the hard days, my kids are 5 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, go ahead and walk out the door, you know, please. Let me open it for you. But did you like start getting nervous as they were getting like in the upper high school years? And did your heart just rip out of its chest when they left? Or how did you prepare yourself for that?
You know, I didn't really know that I was preparing myself, but around the time that my kids were in upper middle school and in high school, I started kind of figuring out more of what was my purpose outside of being a mom. I had homeschooled for 6 years. And as you know, that when you're in that world, it is all of your world. There doesn't seem to be anything else outside of that. And so I started investing in the lives of teen girls, mentoring them, spending time with them. And that kind of out of the outflow of all that volunteering, I started speaking and writing and just, you know, like I said, finding what my purpose was going to be after they were gone. And so it was a transition. My youngest one talks all the time, which is wonderful. And we were very, very, very close. And so I kind of had to question God, why did he have the last child be the one that I spent so much time with? But already kind of heading in the direction of what was my life going to be after that stage of mothering, I think helped tremendously.
If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, I hope you understand that I have a very high respect for the role of motherhood, but also to preserve my sanity and for the
good of my entire family, it's good if mom has a project on the side. So if you're like me and you've ever felt the struggle between loving motherhood, but also wanting to pursue other passions that you have, I've got a book for you. If you have dreams that you want to chase after that sometimes make it hard to fully be present while folding laundry, a book called An Intentional Life by my friend Karen Stott is going to really be encouraging to you. In it, Karen shares her journey into motherhood, the struggle she had when she lost herself for a little bit, and what it felt like when she was not supported in the dreams and passions she had outside the home. As her story unfolds, you're going to be empowered and encouraged to chase after your God-given dreams, but also find joy and contentment right where you are in your motherhood. If you are looking for an uplifting, fun, and inspiring read, go grab your copy of An Intentional Life today. You can go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell to get your copy of An Intentional Life today.
Some moms don't feel like they maybe have that luxury or that right, you know, like they're not supposed to look outside of that. Some of us tend to look outside of that and not even care about motherhood, which is kind of where I leaned. So I had to kind of lean back and go, oh, hold it. This is a big deal too. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend a mom kind of find her purpose outside of motherhood for when that happens?
You know, somebody, as I was in that stage, they asked me the question is, what makes your heart happy? You know, if there is anything you can't help talking about it, what would that thing be? And in my life, you know, at the time I was really observing girls and the way that culture was pushing them. And just the thought of how girls were trying to find their life either wrapped up in the image that culture told them to create of themselves and who they were supposed to be, or in having a guy in their life, because from Disney, from the time they're tiny all the way to, you know, Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl, is telling us that we're incomplete unless we have a guy in our life, you know, and that starts. Yeah. I remember it starting in third grade with my daughters of, I have a boyfriend. And that really broke my heart because God made us as women for so much more than that. That began to be the conversation I was having with other people. What are we teaching our girls? What direction are we encouraging them to head in toward? And so that's kind of how I stumbled into what my next season of life was, is what could I not help talking about?
That's really great. Very simple way to kind of boil it down.
Yeah.
So I mean, good.
It might be health. It might be a social justice issue. It could be all kinds of things. But what is the thing that you find yourself talking about?
Also, you said that just not letting fear and failure keep you from your potential was something that you also, I think, wanted to instill in your kids and the girls you worked with.
Yeah. So last year, I kind of thought I had moved on from teen girls, but I actually ended up writing a book last year for tweens. So for girls between the ages of 8 and 12.
Yes, I have it. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, as I was doing the research for Brave Beauty, I read a statistic that really startled and upset me. And that statistic was that a girl's confidence peaks at age 9. So age 9 is the age as a girl, as a woman, of when we feel the greatest about ourselves in our lifetime. And honestly, Emily, that kind of broke my heart because we have a whole lot of life to live after age 9.
We sure do.
Yeah. And so I started thinking about, what does a girl need when she's in this time period? You know, for me, those ages between 8 and 12, honestly, I would say I kind of wanted to skate through them, because that was the time period in my girls' lives when they still liked me, when we weren't bumping up against a lot of really difficult issues. But I've come to find out that that is not the time at all for a mom to take a step back. That's the time when we need to be investing in them so they're ready for what's to come.
Yeah. That's true. You do kind of brace yourself for the later years, but if you don't invest in the earlier ones, it's not going to go as well.
Well, there's nothing to go from. If you don't have that relationship in place, if your child, girl or boy, doesn't already know before they hit sixth grade that you love them no matter what, that God loves them no matter what, when these tough things that come against their identity start bumping up into their life, they might not be all that sure about who they are, and because culture sure wants to tell them who they're supposed to be.
Yes. And it's so convincing and shiny, and we're not.
Yeah. And it's so fake.
As parents. Yeah. So you said in our conversation previous that as you kind of realized the potential that you had and weren't living out of fear and all those types of things, it's changed the expectations you put on your kids. Because like you said, culture will tell us the way we're supposed to do it. And like you said, even, you know, taking a different path of education and stuff, like we all kind of assume you should do a 4-year degree in 4 years and you need to go right after high school and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so talk to me about changing expectations, because that can be tricky, because even as parents, we're supposed to be the grownups that can not let what other people think influence us. But we are no different than our kids, really, you know, in a lot of ways.
I think that whole confusion about expectation happened for me before I left the hospital with Zach. I had been told that as soon as you have this baby, you're going to feel like a mom and you're going to feel so connected to this child. And I brought my son home and still felt like the babysitter. I didn't feel that mommy connection. I didn't feel that immediate nurturing. So I think I went into parenting, you know, lacking confidence from the very start.
You had him biologically?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Both my kids are adopted. And so I kind of felt like the babysitter, but I just assumed that's how it goes when you've adopted. I didn't think that was a thing for biological.
Yeah. So again, isn't that like culture to send us messages that aren't even true? And of course, I didn't tell anybody, you know, I mean.
Oh, no, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, God forbid someone think I don't know what I'm doing. But I had no clue and I was terrified. And so I think then that when we start feeling fearful, whatever that looks like, that insecurity can mask itself in a bunch of ways. In my life, it typically masks as pride, as, you know, trying to fake it, when in reality, I'm just shaking inside. And so I began to just kind of grasp at whatever I could and read anything I could get my hands on. Did you do any of that, Emily? Any reading?
Well, I mean, my kids being adopted from the foster care system, I had people in and out of my house all the time telling me with their clipboards what I needed to be doing and what I was doing wrong. And so, like, I was under the microscope with my parenting. I did some reading, but I mean, I had experts over every day doing therapies and stuff. So,
right.
I don't know. It was a very interesting kind of sterile and clinical motherhood experience in the beginning.
Well, you know, in some ways, I think that the more we don't have those voices coming at us a bazillion different ways, because for me, the voices were all saying something different.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah, this voice was saying basically, you know, if you follow this formula, you will get this child. And then this other book was telling me, you know, they're born with a personality, let them do whatever they're supposed to do. And I think it just really confused me.
And for me too, it was all secular. Uh-huh. And I couldn't really figure out how under the constraints of a foster care system, I could do some of the things that I don't know. It is very confusing in the beginning.
It is.
And you don't know what voices to trust.
Mm-hmm. And especially when, and I'm sure you ran into the same thing as well, especially when the voices conflict, you know, when they're not saying the same thing. And so as my kids began to grow older, I really had in my brain that if I just did the right things, and here I put in air quotes, you know, they'd turn out, you know, that if we just parented them the right way, if we just poured into them the right scripture and took them to church and did all these things, that they would turn out. But our kids are people, you know, they're little people.
That's the part we forget.
Exactly. We do.
Like you were talking about with, like, we were talking earlier, I just put my kids in public school after all the homeschooling, and I could not, I mean, prayer and all the things. I get up early, have a quiet time. Like I had essential oils going and music, and we did all the things to make it as peaceful as it was. And I could not have a relationship with my daughter and do that. Mm-hmm. And I can tell that as she gets older, because she's 9, we desperately need that relationship. And homeschool was like in the way of that. Mm-hmm. So it was a heartbreaking choice, because it's not anything that I thought would happen. But I'm sure that the more I go through motherhood, the more things aren't going to go like I thought they were going to go. But just the importance of relationship over your plans that you had for parenting.
And you totally nailed it. I remember hearing about that time that rules without relationship produces rebellion. And we experienced that Now, if I would go back, of course, I would make some changes. But no matter what changes that we make, we have to remember, like we just said a few minutes ago, Emily, our children are people. And if they do great things in life, we don't get the applause for that. And if they quote unquote fail, we don't take the responsibility for that. We do what God calls us to do. And that is to put his word and his truth in their heart. And then they, as people, make their decisions on what they will do with that.
Okay, so talk to me about how do you get there? Because I want to take credit for the good. And I also just almost can't not take credit for the bad. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really common thing. So how did you get there?
Oh, I'm not there.
Okay.
And I'm sorry if I made you think I was there, because I'm not. No, this is something that, you know, even with my children being adults, this is something that as a parent, I don't know that I'll ever really get past, but it's something I keep trying to reiterate over and over again to myself, that our children have a free will. And just as God had a plan for how he would lead me into relationship with himself, he has his own plan for them. And it's not my opportunity to try to navigate that plan, nor is it my responsibility to make the calls for, you know, turning left, turning right. While they're in my care, I pour into them all I can, but also keeping in mind that they have a free will and they're going to make their own choices.
Even when I try to cut things out of my schedule, I always end up being busier than I'd like. That leads to me eating junk food, then I'm gross, then I'm stressed, then I'm mad at myself, and then I have to go have a candy bar about it. That's why I love Daily Harvest. I feel like I talk about them every day. They deliver smoothies right to my door, so I don't even have to think about making a healthy choice. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned, frozen, organic fruits and vegetables right to your door. You put them right in the freezer until you want to use them, and then when you're ready, put your favorite milk in and blend it up. With Daily Harvest, you can make an amazing meal or snack in about 30 seconds. But there's also harvest bowls and soup, and they even have lattes now. What? They have a new coffee and cardamom latte, which I added to this month's order for myself. I spend my very own money on Daily Harvest because I love it. So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code MSW to get 3 items for free in your first box. That's promo code MSW for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. That's daily-harvest.com. So there's a guy named Tom Patterson, and he was just a regular guy who happened to be super frustrated with the fit of his underwear. He went home and he sketched up some smarter designs, had a tailor sew the prototypes, and bam, Tommy John underwear was born. So that was 10 years ago. In the decades since then, Tommy John has sold 5 million pairs of underwear. More than 500,000 guys have switched over to Tommy John. They use proprietary fabrics, innovative designs, and they make sure the legs never ride up, the waistband never rolls down, and you can't get a wedgie. It's impossible. If you don't believe me, you should try them for yourself. Since Tommy John underwear is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So join the revolution against uncomfortable undergarments and make the switch to Tommy John. They also have women's underwear, which I am going to tell you are just as good as they say. I am not someone who talks about my underwear on a regular basis, but I will say these underwear are literally fabulous. So hurry to tommyjohn.com/MSW for 20% off your first order. That's tommyjohn.com/MSW for 20% off the best underwear you will ever find. tommyjohn.com/MSW.
How do you know how much to enter into those things as they get older? And I don't know, it just, ugh. Like I have one kid who just is very happy to take your advice and listen to wisdom. And one that's like, if you tell me to do that or even suggest it, I'm going the other way.
Right. And so it's totally personality based, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the same true with all three of mine. They're all completely different. My youngest, she wants to talk about everything and she wants to dialogue about it and she wants my advice on it. And then she wants to add what she thinks and come up with a decision. My older two are much more independent. They would, you know, even in high school, make decisions and then come back and say, hey, I did this today. And part of you is like, wait a minute, you're 15. You were supposed to ask me. But that's exactly what we're hoping for. You know, the goal is for them to be independent adults And so if that is the goal, then we have to facilitate that goal by allowing them to make decisions, even if those decisions make you want to throw up inside. That is part of them becoming independent, is they'll never get there if they don't fall on their face. And sometimes we have to watch that.
Well, how do you know when you don't scoop them up and fix it? I tend to be the mom who's going to let them fall on their face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I could do more scooping up. I know that about myself.
That is such a good question. I think part of it is making sure that even when they mess up, we've had a lot of mess ups around here, but no matter how big they've been, Greg and I have reassured our children how much we love them. And that there is nothing that they could do that could ever change that. Nothing they could ever do would cause us to not love them.
Do you ever have to reassure yourself that you still have those feelings for them? Like, do you ever go through times where it's like a really thin affection?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's times you don't like your kids.
Yeah. I just feel bad for that.
You're a human. We're human. And even though our kids are our family, they're still people with personalities that you might not be friends with them in the real world if they were your child.
Oh, yes. I've thought about that so many times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like cookie cutter, if they could all be the same, like even if they were all the same and we didn't quite get them, even if they were all the same, it'd be easier because we'd know, like, I have this kind of kid. But to have all the different kinds of kids.
Huh. Yeah. I think that for me, that's the whole being dependent on the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I didn't, James 1:5 tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, and God will give us his wisdom. That is probably the first thing out of my mouth most mornings is, God, give me wisdom. Because you never know what's going to come at you that day when it comes to parenting. You know, it may be something you are never prepared for and you don't have the wisdom that it takes to get through that day, but he inside you does.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much I wanted independence from God until I became a mom, because I'm always trying to get around having to depend on him for things. It's ridiculous. It's almost like I'm a big kid.
Well, you know what? He gave us different personalities and he gave you that gritty personality for a reason. If we didn't each have different parts of us, this would be a very boring planet. While you may see that part of your personality as a drawback, he absolutely has built that, woven that into you to make you the woman he wants you to be.
Well, that's good. I don't always love my grittiness, but there it serves a purpose, I'm sure. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about being in ministry and the mistakes or the mess ups that your kids make. And how do you walk that out when, even though we like to talk about how real we are, we like to talk about it theoretically. We don't like to like actually talk about what's going on sometimes. So how do you navigate that?
Well, one of the things that I think, you know, just Emily, as me and you were talking a few minutes ago about our kids, our people, we have to remember that depending on how public our life is, and really all of our lives are public now because of the amount of social media that we have access to, that yes, today your kid, your child may be, you know, 7, 10, 16, but they have access to whatever you feel free to share. So while the public or even our, you know, friends that we're not talking to, you know, verbally want to know everything that's going on in our lives, we have to remember that our children have the right to their own privacy. It's been a thin line for me to try to figure out, especially within ministry, because you want to share your experiences and your struggles with people, with what you've learned or even just what you're going through so that they know that you're normal. Mm-hmm. But yet at the same time, we have to remember that our children's lives are private. I bet you really experienced this in the foster care system.
Mm, yeah.
Well, now that your children are adopted and they're a part of your permanent family, they still have a right to, I don't like the word right, because that conjures up all kinds of weird things in our culture.
Yeah, but it shows an honor for them and their personhood.
Yes, and we need to respect, maybe that's the word I'm looking for, respect their privacy. Mm-hmm. So my youngest child 3 years ago was diagnosed with bipolar and OCD. And Maddie has given me permission to talk about that anywhere, anytime, to anyone, because she sees the stigma that we have in our culture with mental illness. And she wants her struggles to be part of helping to move our culture past these stigmas we have. But there are other struggles that we've had in our family that my children have not given me permission to talk about. And so I think it's important that we respect our children, no matter what age they are.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the other day I was having a struggle with my daughter and she said, well, now you're going to say bad things about me on Facebook. I was like, well, I mean, I really prefer Instagram to Facebook, first of all. And second of all, I don't say bad things about you. But I thought it was interesting that she immediately went to, because it's not what I do, but that's where she went, that now everybody is going to know. Mm-hmm. So interesting time that we're living in.
Yeah.
Teamy Blends is a healthy lifestyle company that has all kinds of really high quality teas and other products that are really good for your body. We, even if we're trying our best, cannot avoid all the toxins in our environment and in our food. Teamy Blends has a detox pack that I've been doing, and it's just two different kinds of teas. You take one in the morning and one every other night, and they really help you metabolize your food and help you get all the toxins out. I'm not going to go into too much information, but I have used these like detoxifying teas before that are like supposed to help you get rid of bloating and stuff. Sometimes they're so harsh that it's almost like you're getting ready for a colonoscopy, if you know what I mean. I have not experienced anything ridiculous with these teas, but they're working, but they're not making it to where I can't leave my bathroom. So Teamy Blends is giving Mom Struggling Well listeners 15% off of their orders of $29.99 or more. Go to Teamy Blends, that's T-E-A-M-I blends.com, and enter coupon code MSW15. That's teamyblends.com, coupon code MSW15.
Okay, so I do want to talk about that with mental health, with your children. What was that like for you and your family? And how did it kind of clear things up when she got a diagnosis? Were you like, oh, that makes sense? Or was it out of left field?
Yes, when Maddie was, I would say around eight, maybe third grade, my husband and I both noticed that she was an anxious child. You know, we would lock up the house, tuck her in bed, and she would come back down and go around and check all the doors. And I thought, you know, she's just a little bit fearful. And then other little signs like that. But I myself was very uneducated with mental illness. And so I didn't know what I was seeing. So as we moved into middle school and high school and the anxiousness really, you know, started ramping up again, I felt like she's an anxious teenager. Lots of teenagers are anxious. Lots of them deal with anxiety and depression. And it's a very emotional, unstable time in a child's development. And so that's what we felt it was. And we did get her, you know, professional counseling and felt that maybe as she made her move into college and she was being in a public high school was very hard for her because she was really purposing to live for Christ. And that can be a very hard place when you're pursuing Jesus. Yeah. So we thought, you know, maybe as she moves to a Christian university and she's around more people who are hopefully heading in the same direction she was heading in, that this would lessen, but it didn't. And so that Christmas of her freshman year, her psychiatrist and psychologist together diagnosed her as bipolar and OCD. And so exactly what you said, Emily, happened. There was a part of us that went, ah, now we know. But yet at the other part, there was a real sadness that was like, oh, now we know.
How did she take it?
I think those were her feelings too. There was a part of her that was like, oh, I finally get what I couldn't understand about myself. But then also there was the reality of this isn't something I'm probably just going to outgrow. Yeah. So she's now a junior in college and she's doing great. But the reason she's doing great is because Maddie depends on God so much. Mm-hmm. She continually fills her mind with his word and with worship and is learning how to use all of the tools that she's gaining from counseling, as well as staying on the medication that helps her brain to do what it naturally doesn't do.
Yeah. Was there shame for her, for you? What did, I mean, because the enemy, he lies to us and he comes after us hard, especially things like this that we're not quote unquote supposed to have if we trust God, which is complete baloney, but that doesn't mean it's not what you hear.
Yeah, I remember as Maddie started herself publicly sharing, she started a blog, MaddieCowell.com. And I remember family members coming to me and saying, hey, do you know that Maddie's sharing this? And you should, you know, tell Maddie not to be so verbal and not to talk to other people because people will think differently of her. It could affect her future. And so it's funny because if there was any quote unquote shame, it wasn't coming from inside. It was coming more from others, you know, who wanted to encourage us to keep this under the rug, keep it to yourself. But that's exactly what Maddie doesn't want to happen. You know, for people like herself to suffer silently instead of us becoming more educated on how people are different.
Yeah. I'm not sure about this, so it's kind of a dumb question, but why did it take so long to have a diagnosis? Is that something that doesn't like, I mean, I have a degree in psychology, but does some of that stuff come out in your early 20s, like more officially or?
Yeah, I think that the medical world is very slow to diagnose, especially mental illnesses, until you get more past that developmental stage. Okay. And so don't quote me on this, but I think that's why we hear so many diagnoses of and ADHD and ADD. And it's because they're not quite sure what they're seeing yet. They know that there's some instability there, but, you know, not quite sure what it is. But as a parent, I would just encourage you that if you feel like you're seeing something that is some instability emotionally or mentally, to just start taking some early steps, and especially getting some really great professional counseling has made all the difference in Maddie's life.
That's brave for all of you. And I love that she's being so vocal about it, and I like her already.
She is my brave beauty for sure.
Oh, that's so good. You mentioned that trying to prioritize your family over your work. How is that still difficult? This is, again, a silly question, but with your kids out of your house, it feels like you'd have so much more time to work and it wouldn't be hard to prioritize that. How are you doing that? And also, how often do you communicate with all your kids? I know it's probably different for everybody, but what's that going to look like? Tell me my future.
Well, part of the struggle with family wasn't just with my children, but with my extended family, like my mother. I have an elderly mom and, you know, my in-laws are aging. And I think that especially depending on what kind of work you do, since the work I'm involved in is ministry, there's a part of you that feels like that it's so important that it's hard not to make it more important than what God would have me to make it. You know, you may already be experiencing this, Emily, with some of your children, that one of your child is more communicative than the other child is.
Yeah.
And so with me, you know, my oldest being a boy and being my son, days could go by and I would realize I haven't had any communication with Zach for a week, or it's been 2 weeks and I've not talked to him. And I think it's just easy for us to get into the hamster wheel of I'm a to-do girl. And so when I wake up in the morning, my brain automatically goes, okay, let's just get this checklist done. And I can put all these projects before the people in my life. And I don't want to do that. I mean, when I am 80 one day looking back, am I going to remember that on that day I remembered to whatever it was? Or did I take some time to call my daughter and see how things are going in at college?
How do you know how much to call them?
I just flat out come out and ask them. Hey, okay. I know that you're busy. And so I just text my kids ahead of time and say, you know, my goal is to talk on the phone with my oldest two once a week. They're really busy. And so I just text them, is this a good time? And lots of times they'll tell me no. Hey, how about tomorrow or something like that.
Does it hurt your feelings?
No. And I think the reason why it doesn't is because if you've ever been in a relationship where you have felt pressure yourself to perform a certain way, I've tried to not put that same pressure on my kids, because pressure pushes people away. And that's not what I want to happen. I want them to want to talk to me, to want to spend time with me. And so I'm constantly saying things like, hey, no pressure if you want to stop by on Saturday, or hey, if you've got time, but if you don't, I get it, you're busy. And I think that it seems to be working.
Good. You said that something that's a little tricky right now is when your kids get, they're all getting new roommates. And I know right now when my kids bring somebody over, I can like kind of see what's happening and who they are and how they act. And how do you, I feel nervous for you,
your kids' new roommates. Me too. Oh gosh, if you've ever, you know, been down that pathway, you're bringing a whole nother person into the equation of influence.
Like really closely too, like yeah. They live there, you know?
Yeah, it's hard not to just want to constantly spill out all your opinions on everything. But you know, again, they're adults making their own decisions. And man, I pray a lot.
I bet. Do you like try to get to know the roommates like in a cool mom kind of way, not like in a
depending
crazy mom
on
way?
If my child is into that. Okay. Sometimes they have encouraged it. You know, I've said, hey, bring so and so over for dinner or bring them home with you for spring break. And sometimes they've been like, oh, yeah, thanks. And, you know, I have another person in my home for a week over a holiday break. But other times it's been, you know, pretty obvious that, you know, this is my space, that's your space, and let's all honor that.
Okay. Wow. Well, I think it sounds like you're doing a great job.
You know what? I'm your podcast. I'm a mom struggling well.
Yeah. Oh, we all are. Okay. So I just have one more question for you. What is something that you cannot stop talking about these days?
So we kind of talked about what happened in my life last year was I wrote and released 2 books in 1 year, which, it was pretty crazy. But yet at the same time, before I said yes, I absolutely knew that they were assignments from God. Okay. And so I said yes, knowing it was going to be hard, but knowing that he was going to help me. And he absolutely did. But there were still things I could have done better. And so I started looking into what was going to happen in the new year. I contacted a few of my friends and shamefully said, I know, I've never made goals in my life. Do any of you guys do that? And how do you do that? One of my friends introduced me to these things called power sheets. Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, I use them. I do. I'm kind of been bad at it this year.
But you've used them in years past.
Well, yeah, I have them this year, but this beginning of the year has been a little wonky. So no, but I do have them and I do love them when I do them.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about the creator of them, whose name is Laura Casey, is somewhere she says, January 1st is just a day. And I love that.
Yes.
Because January 1st is never a good day for me. I still have kids home from college, you know?
Yeah.
I can't start life when life is just kind of in a weird place. So these power sheets, the title of them is called Cultivate What Matters. And you know, when you write down, Emily, and yours, what matters, I'm sure it looks really different than mine. But under my daily goals, I have my kids' names. Mm. And I'm kind of hoping they don't see this because they might think, dude, I'm a check mark in your goal planner. But they are, because it's a check mark that says, I texted Zach, I called Mariah, I contacted Maddie.
Great.
Because they matter to me and I have to remind myself to do what matters.
Yeah, it's so good. I really do love them because it helps you only do what matters and not 40 other things.
There is so many things.
Yeah. Yes. And there's cute stickers that come with the power sheets and everything. So what's not to love?
Exactly.
Awesome. Did you have anything else?
On my website under freebies,
yeah.
I have this freebie called 5 Days to Unshakable Confidence.
Okay.
And it's kind of a neat little easy devotional thing to help women to start building their confidence, not on their kids, not on their work, not on someone, someplace, or something, but on the only thing that we can't lose, which is Christ.
I love it. So it's not for like tweens, it's for women.
Yes. And I also, if you want to talk about the one for tweens, I have one for tweens. That one's called Grounded, Standing Firm in a Roller Coaster World.
Okay. And that's on your freebie thing too?
And that's also a 5-day devotional for tweens.
Awesome. Okay. I didn't know about that one. I will add that to the show notes.
Okay.
Yay. Well, thank you, Lynn, so much.
Okay, ladies, let's unpack everything that we heard and see what our strategy could be to struggle well this week. Maybe you're noticing that in this season of really busy parenting, you could do a little bit more to nurture your marriage. It's hard. We get so comfortable with one another that we tend to take each other for granted. So maybe this week you struggle well by spending time doing something that your husband enjoys, even if it's not your favorite. I really loved when Lynn said that rules without relationship equals rebellion. I could really identify that in my house. There could definitely be more relationship. Lord knows there's enough rules. So I think I'm going to really try to focus on relationship and connection this week. Maybe it really resonated with you when she said that our kids, they deserve privacy in this world of social media. So maybe you have a think about what's appropriate sharing in this wild west of motherhood on the internet. None of us have ever done it before. We weren't living through it as kids. So how can we honor our kids? Because they are ultimately way more important than that perfect Instagram photo. Maybe you have the same suspicions about your kids. Maybe you think your incredibly anxious child, it may be more than just a little bit of nerves. Maybe this week you struggle well by making a phone call to a professional to look into possible services that could help get your child headed in the right direction. Certainly none of us want mental illness to be part of our story or our children's story, but also trying harder and ignoring better, those are not good choices and they don't ultimately serve our children or our family well. And that's a really hard thing to come to terms with, but it's better to come to terms with it and deal with it than to just pretend and things not go well for our kids. We love our kids too much to pretend their very real needs aren't there. Okay, it's time to bring my sister back to talk about what y'all are buying on Amazon. Okay, so somebody purchased the Poo-Pourri spray. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it and I believe I've used it.
What are your thoughts on it?
Doesn't smell so great, but somebody gave it to me to use in our work bathroom.
I've seen it pop up lots of places, like at conferences and things like that.
It's just waiting there in the restroom?
Well, like somebody brings it. I've never brought it, but it gets brought.
Brought in.
It gets brought in. So anyway, it's so funny. There was a couple one-star reviews that I needed to read. The first one says, it may work wonderfully, but there's only enough product for 3 to 4 uses. I would expect 8 to 10 poops for this price. Final sentence, you are a fool if you buy this.
Oh, buddy.
Took it up a notch, man.
She's locked down. He or she's locked down on 8 to 10.
8 to 10 poops. I love that they have they have a range that they feel very comfortable with.
Or you're a fool.
Okay. And the other one said, waste of money, made the bathroom smell like citrus poop. The cat won't even go in there. And we all know cats are good judges of character.
They are.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening today. I know you have so many options of podcasts. Did you know 1,000 new podcasts start every week? 1,000. What? So I know you have options, and I'm so thankful that you chose this show. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you love me even when I don't prioritize spending time with you. Thank you that you love me enough to let me feel the way that I feel when I haven't spent time with you. Because God, I'm feeling it. I just confess that I prioritize accomplishing. I've prioritized doing fun things with friends. I've prioritized cleaning my house. I put all that stuff above time with you, and I'm feeling it. I'm pretty dry. God, thank you that you are not any less pumped about me being your daughter. So I pray for these moms who are no doubt just as maxed out in all the ways. I really pray that we would just sit the heck down and quiet our spirits and listen to what you would have us do, but even more than that, what you think about us. Lord, for the mom who is concerned that her child might have a mental illness, or for the mom who's too petrified to even consider that that might be a possibility, you are the God of all comfort. You are the great physician. You hold all things together. Lord, this stuff is scary. We find with our kids, we love them more fiercely than we even knew we could. And so the idea that something might be not quite right, that we can't fix, it's just more than we can even bear. Lord, you're a God of details, and those kids are in our house for a reason. Lord, you're the God who provides, and you can provide us every single resource that we need for them. Lord, you're the God who comforts, and you can comfort our hearts that are afraid. Lord, Romans 5 says that our sufferings produce character and endurance in us. And Lord, ultimately, that leads to hope. And the hope that we have in you never disappoints us. So Lord, will you help us to lift our eyes up to that hope and not focus on the things about our kids that make us afraid that they're going to go to prison any minute. Lord, for the mom whose kiddo is about to leave, she's about to become an empty nester and her heart is breaking. Again, you're all those same things for her. Comfort her and give her hope. Lord, thank you that you're bigger than all of our parenting problems, because there are a lot of them. Thank you that you're very present with us and that your eyes towards us are kind. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. Amen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.